Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the call this morning is Representative Garen Tarr. Good morning, Garen. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Yeah, we've got so much to chat about, but I want to start. You and I will be in the same room together this weekend at the Alaska Farm Bureau Annual Convention. And I want to just shout out to folks, if you haven't signed up or considered attending yet, there's still time. The convention is being held downtown Anchorage at the Egan all day Friday, all day Saturday, and there are some workshop options on Sunday. AlaskaFB.org, that's AlaskaFarmBureau.org, for the full agenda for the convention and the evening activities, et cetera, to get registered. That's where you head, AlaskaFB. But anyway, Garen, It's probably been a number of months since I had you on the show. I think it was during the first real session. I'm not sure if it was during the first special session. I can't remember when I had you on last, but I really appreciate you taking the time to join me again. I wanted to just chat with you about accomplishments of this last session, things that are on the horizon for next year, ways that folks can get in touch with their members of the legislature to talk about new, preferred changes in legislation, or, how do we get this done? How do we make change? And then, of course, we have to celebrate a little bit our success with HB 22. I think both you and I have heard some success stories from folks, producers in particular, who have benefited from that new legislation. So, of course, I wanted to chat about that a little bit as well. But I know you're busy. I know it's a maybe you get a little bit of a break for a little while. I'm not sure now that this last session ended, but I really appreciate you taking the time to join me on Ag Matters Radio.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to be here. And it has been a little while since we chatted last.
Yeah, maybe. I can't even remember if it was during regular session when you were in Juneau and we didn't make it down there because of COVID, or if it was I don't recall. But anyway, we've had some good accomplishments. But from your perspective, as a representative who was in the thick of it for a long time, is this the longest session with four special sessions? Is that your longest so far?
We set a record this year.
Oh.
A distinction to be very proud of, but we did set a record for the number of session days. So
wow. And
Hopefully not too many years like this repeated in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But some good things came out of it. I'm sure for folks that are paying attention, there were some accomplishments. There were some things finally agreed upon. Do you have any closing thoughts for this year's session?
Well, as it relates to agriculture, I would say a bright spot is that more and more people have been getting engaged on the legislation that we work on. And I think there's a lot of momentum to keep pushing in the same direction and think about what our next opportunities are going to be. It would be fun to start and talk a little bit about HB 22, if you don't mind if I start there.
Absolutely.
That is our free the cheese. I'm sure your listeners have heard you say that more than one time before. And we got that bill passed this year. And it's so exciting because it is providing new opportunity for farmers around the state and consumers alike. So I had shared the other day, I saw a post from a Juneau farm, and they're now doing a winter herd share program that features the Chev. And that's a new opportunity for them. They weren't doing that before. Now they can stretch their herd share program through the winter. And what I learned in talking with them offline was that their next step is to expand their operation, and then they want to become a grade A dairy. So just as we suspected, this could provide that pathway to expansion. There's just one example where that's happening. Of course, we know for some of our other farmers, they're very happy with the herd share arrangement, but love that they'll be able to offer their herd share members new products.
Absolutely.
So it's just very exciting that it doesn't matter whether it was for expansion or for just new products, being able to meet the needs for the consumers of these products, for Alaskans, it makes it that much more likely that Alaskans will choose Alaska-grown products when you can make it more convenient. And that's just a fact of life. We know people are really busy. And much as I'd like to myself buy from each farmer and spend a whole day going from farm to farm to get the strawberries from this person and the cheese from that person and the lettuce from that person, it's just not realistic that people can do that. And so now, if in addition to your fluid milk, you can get cheese, you can get butter, you can get yogurt, you can get ice cream, whatever products they choose out of the new options to include, then it's just that much more likely that you'll be able to keep those members part of your herd share program and, you know, that they would even recommend it to others because it's just great to be able to get all those new products. So that was just one example. And it was really fun for me to see that in Juneau because we don't think of Juneau as the core kind of agriculture part of the state. We know, you know, there's a lot more happening in the Mat-Su Valley and up in the interior and out to Delta. And so just to see something happening in that area where we sometimes don't see as much and to know that it's providing their growth opportunity is just really exciting. And then for, you know, consumers, I know there's a lot of interest and excitement about these new products.
Absolutely. It is. I just, you know, major kudos to you. Big high five. I've heard from four different producers that this has had an impact on their bottom line. And I think that for me spells a win because in this kind of support role that we play at Alaska Farmland Trust and just me personally, I want to see our agriculture industry thrive. And if adding a value-added product to the, you know, items that you have for sale is something that a producer can now do because of a bill that we got passed, then, and, you know, now they're able to, you know, pay off their debt sooner or, you know, go on an extra vacation or whatever that matters for that farm or whatever that means for that farm. It feels really good to know that we did that and that now, obviously, as a consumer, we have access to more products. So I just for a couple of minutes, I'd like to break down the process a little bit too, just to let listeners know that this is how you can get laws changed. This is how you can make an impact. So if we're going to be realistic about this process, it wasn't fast. It's not like we snapped our fingers and HB 22 was passed. I believe it was about a 5-year process, or is that too long?
It was 4 or 5.
Okay.
Sadly, for like you, I'm like trying to remember exactly, and they're all sort of blending together. But that's a great place to start in terms of the message being persistence.
Right, right.
It's not whether, you know, something is a good or bad idea. It's just that there's so many competing issues, and the 90-day session just does not provide a lot of time for these bills to make it all the way through the process. Each bill is typically going to get 2 committee referrals. So that's 2 committees in the House, and then it has to pass the House and go to the Senate, and then 2 committees in the Senate. And so it just, you know, in a good year kind of situation, it would happen in a 1 legislative cycle, which is 2 years. And I think in our case, we might have been able to get it through in 2020 if it had not been for COVID.
Sure.
Because we had gotten it through the House, and we were pretty far along in the Senate. But there you go. That's just an example of the unpredictable nature of things. Hopefully no more pandemics in our near future, but there are certainly other things that come up. Could be another kind of crisis. We know when we had the big earthquake, for example, right? That really shook gears, and you had to pay attention to that. So things like that always happen. So persistence is really important. And I will say, kind of point out a failure, but just one of the things I've seen happen during my legislative service is that people introduce really good bills, but then only work on them for a year and then kind of move on to something else. So great place to start in this conversation is being persistent. We knew it was a good idea, and kudos to you, Amy. We always joke it was the Amy Seitz with the Farm Bureau, Amy Pettit with the Farmland Trust, and then Susie Crosby, one of our favorite farmers ever, who played such a role in sharing the story, you know, from all different perspectives, food security, from the consumer, from the economic benefit of the farmer, and from the perspective of being a farmer and sharing safety and all of those important things that people just don't always know a lot about. So it took that great team and persistence. And unfortunately, again, it doesn't always happen quickly, but the very exciting thing for us to also think about now is that one's done. So what's next?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, a quick reminder to folks, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me this morning on the call is Representative Garen Tarr. We've been talking about the success of HB 22 and the Free the Cheese movement. And you're right. What is next? And I've been thinking about that because now that you know what it feels like to successfully pass a bill, or now that I know what that feels like to be involved and what it takes from community support, education of legislators, education of the community, and even the administration a little bit, I feel like we had to do a little bit of education on that level as well. But now that we know that the process that we can do it, I have been thinking about that. Like, what is next? What do the farmers want next? And I think that that's a key point. The idea to change the access to raw milk products through the herd share program, access to value-added products through the herd share program, that came from a Farm Bureau meeting. That came from farmers asking for that change. And so another shout out for the Farm Bureau meeting this weekend and for, you know, joining an advocacy group such as the Farm Bureau, because that's how this process started. Folks raised their hand. They brought up an issue. They said, we'd like to see this changed. Thankful and kudos to you, Representative Tarr, for continuing to be involved in our agriculture industry, showing up to those Farm Bureau meetings, listening to what people want and how you can have an impact. And that's kind of how it started. Your office took on drafting the language of the bill. And again, it took a couple of sessions, but we got it done. So I'm really curious to hear from farmers this weekend at the annual convention about what's next. And I'm guessing it's going to be something along the food freedom pathway, some other access related issues. That's certainly something that interests me. With the closure of the Mount McKinley meat and sausage meat plant down here in Palmer, I've seen a direct impact on availability of meat products and access to meat products here in South Central, local meat products. And so I've been doing a little bit of my homework on what are they doing in other states related to the Prime Act? What are they doing in other states when the big meat slaughter facilities shut down because of COVID? What could we do differently in Alaska? I'm not sure if you've heard of other subject ideas already, but that's certainly one that's been on my radar.
Well, me too. And actually been doing the same thing. I learned about a bill from Oregon, and I'm having a bill drafted based on this Oregon legislation that puts in a state inspection.
Perfect.
Program, rather than having to rely on the federal program. And you know, it'll be something for us to review. I wanted to get something on paper for us to look at and understand how it works or wouldn't work for what we have in existing law right now. So that's kind of a first step. But it's a good point to bring up, too, because when we started working on food freedom, it did include the meat products and the dairy products. The other cottage food products had been somewhat addressed with some regulation. But we pivoted when we were having trouble in getting the full legislation through and decided to focus on the dairy piece of it. And I think that was also the right call. So, you know, we could get something done. And so then now that lets us, you know, focus on this next piece possibly. I've heard some concerns about what's happening with the university and funding reductions at the university and how that's impacting cooperative extension service and things like soil testing.
Absolutely.
So that's an issue I'd like to hear more about from farmers, and I hope to this weekend. Have had some other conversation about additional export opportunities beyond our peony market. And I think that's very exciting to consider. In a conversation earlier with Senator Hughes, we were talking about federal dollars coming into the state and how some of those are going to go for things like ports and airports, and thinking about, you know, whether any of those improvements will bring in opportunity for our agriculture industry and how to think about that. And I'm really excited, and I don't think it's too early to share, that there's a group of us legislators working together to form what we're calling right now an Alaska Food Security Caucus.
Awesome.
And this will be House and Senate legislators, bipartisan, and a group of us really passionate about these issues so that we can carry the workload and build on the momentum of our working together. And that can really help us, I think, achieve things. You know, one individual legislator really can only get a couple things done just because of the amount of time it takes through the process. So if we identify a few next priorities. Hopefully, through this group, we'll be able to spread out the load in terms of people working on them and then keep moving forward. So we're going to talk about that this weekend at the Farm Bureau meeting, and really interested in getting feedback from the folks in attendance. And I hope many of your listeners will be there.
Yeah, well, that's exciting to hear that, you know, because when you're someone who works in the agriculture industry, the food security world, you're constantly saying this is a bipartisan issue. Everybody eats. There's no politics about this, right? So I appreciate the fact that that a group of you are coming together with that common theme in mind, because it is obviously still a hot topic. Our friend Arthur Keyes sent me a text the other day, and there was a steak for sale in a local retailer for $38 a pound. And I was like, what on earth? Like, first, my thought is, you know, as the child of beef cattle producers, I thought, whoa, man, could you imagine if my dad had ever made $38 a pound on an animal? That would have been amazing. My second thought was, you know, nobody can afford that. And my third thought was, if that's the price of a commercial red meat product available at the grocery store, what does that say for pricing for local product? You know, what is going to happen over the course of this winter? So food security, food access, food availability, it's something that's always front of mind awareness for those of us in this industry. And it's really good to know that members of the legislature are rallying around this topic and how can we support it. So I, too, look forward to the ideas that come out of the Farm Bureau meeting this weekend. And for folks that may or may not be able to attend that convention, may not be Farm Bureau members themselves, I guess, what are some, like, what would your advice be to a listener about how to get legislative change to happen? Like, what's step number one? Like, know your legislator, or start the process?
I always recommend reaching out to your own legislator and letting them know who you are and what issues interest you, and that you have this perspective to share. And for me, that's been so helpful. I have neighbors that are interested in food security. I have neighbors that are educators. I have neighbors that work in mental health. So when these different issues come across my desk, I have someone I can reach out to and say, hey, you know, what's your reaction to this? Do you have any feedback? Have you heard about this in your professional circles? So, you know, if you can let your representative know that you work as a farmer or you work in the food industries, then if a bill comes their way, hopefully they'll reach out and say, hey, you know, I'd really appreciate your feedback on this as someone who's knowledgeable and working in this every day. What can you tell me about whether this is a good or bad idea? Because ideas come from everywhere and anywhere. And, you know, sometimes bills get put forward that just haven't really been fully fleshed out. And so that's just the process, but it's super helpful to have people that you know and trust and you feel like you can reach out to and ask questions of, and, you know, really, hopefully your legislator then can benefit from that perspective and experience. And then if they're not that responsive, maybe they've got different priorities, because of course in our different districts, there are, you know, things that come up that require kind of the more immediate attention, then reach out to another legislator or reach out to the committee that deals with those issues. For agriculture issues, that's the Resources Committee, and that's because the Resources Committee has the jurisdiction over the Department of Natural Resources, and that's where Division of Agriculture is housed.
Right.
And so, you know, that's not going to change. It's always going to be the Resources Committee that get the bills that have to do with Division of Ag and ag-related efforts.
Perfect.
Another thing is, if you have ideas, you know, feel free to reach out with your other ideas. And I would say this is a great example of a big issue. You say food security. We want to do something about food security. A lot of people agree with that statement. But then the follow-up is, how do we do that?
Right.
And so those specific proposals can be more difficult to come by, particularly if they have a hefty price tag on them, just given our fiscal situation right now. Now, we do have the federal ARPA dollars and the infrastructure dollars coming. So again, we should be looking for ways that those dollars could be invested and help agriculture. But otherwise, it's a little bit difficult right now to try to develop new programs or have something that requires additional positions because of just our current fiscal situation. Now, the good news is there are things like what we did with House Bill 22 that don't really require new staffing, but instead required a policy change to accomplish something new. And those are really exciting opportunities that we can explore right now and not be held back by
a fiscal note.
The finance committee. Yeah. And someone saying, oh, well, this is an awesome idea, but, you know, we can't hire five new staff people right now.
Right. And I would say, I would point out to folks that all of our members of the legislature on both sides are home right now. For some people, it feels like 2021 is like over, right? It's like November starts and it's the holiday season. So just check out for the next 8 weeks. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's only early November. But I will say our members of the legislature are home. And correct me if I'm mistaken, Garen, but is this a good time of year to reach out with ideas and, policy changes or new bills? Or is now a great time, like before the next session and in this break time?
It is a really great time, because what I would hope any of my colleagues would do is if you bring them an idea, call around to some other stakeholders, get some more feedback, then you need to get a bill drafted, and then try to get some feedback on draft legislation before it would ever be introduced. And I would say that is one way to try and move something along a little more quickly. What I've also seen happen is a bill get introduced, again, that's a little bit more in draft form. And unfortunately, with the fast pace of the legislative session and the demands on the legislative legal department who drafts bills, sometimes things can be set aside just in a matter of prioritization. So I really try and take advantage of the interim time to get prepared for the session. And I even try to prepare for, you know, the things that I'm working on now. And then, for example, over this coming year, start to think about the things I might start working on the following year, so that I sort of even have a full year to prepare on something and then really work on it in the following year. And again, what I have found is that just has helped reduce some of the back and forth that happens once a bill starts being heard.
Sure.
And not having some of those challenges that can just sort of slow things down. So, you know, there's no perfect way or no one single right way, but definitely using the time in the interim is a good way to build support, get questions answered, and have something that's more ready to go when it is part of the legislative process.
Perfect. Well, another quick reminder to folks, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me this morning is Representative Garen Tarr. We've been talking a little bit about the legislative process and how to get policy changes, bill ideas, et cetera, introduced to your member of the legislature. So thanks for that input. And again, excited to hear what comes out of the Farm Bureau meeting this weekend. We're already through almost 23 minutes of our 28, 29 time. Garen, it goes so fast. But I want to use this kind of final little session for some rapid fire questions that I've been asking all of my guests over the last couple of months. So it can be a quick answer, it can be a short answer, or go into detail, whatever feels good for you. But if you weren't involved in the legislature in Alaska, is there another state that you'd like to be involved in?
Well, my home state of Ohio was where I learned how to grow food. And I will admit, sometimes I miss the ease of hot weather, the productivity. But the trade-off is there are different crops that do really well in Alaska that didn't there. So I have fond memories of that work, though.
Okay, very good. And you can take a legislative angle on this or an agriculture angle. Who's a mentor of yours in the world of this work that you're doing?
Well, I have to share about River and Sarah Bean. I met them about a week after I moved to Alaska in 1998 because the Anchorage Press did an article about them, and I sought them out. And when I got elected, I again went back to them for advice on what to work on as a legislator as it relates to agriculture. And River's advice was just don't screw it up, because often the government gets involved and they just screw things up. And so I was just joking with him this summer about how important that advice has been to me. And it's one of the reasons why it's so important to me to hear directly from farmers with their ideas, because in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking,
don't screw it up.
I don't want to screw it up.
Oh, that's funny. Good for River for being so direct with you. And that's something that stuck with you so long. Favorite book that you like to read, agreed, or again, on either topic, legislatively or Alaska agriculture? Do you have a favorite book that you would point out to folks?
Oh, gosh. Well, I really am an ethnobotanist. I would say that's kind of been my focus as far as the studies that I did and the focus that I've liked to have in my work, not only plants for food, but plants for medicine. And so there was a book called Festoon, and it's the story of this woman, Rosita Arvigo, and her work as a herbalist. And when she worked in the rainforest and studied with a Mayan healer.
Oh, wow.
And that was, yeah, that was something I read early, and I'm just looking at the copy I have on my book on my bookshelf right now. So Festoon, it's a really special book to me.
Okay, very good. I'll have to look that one up. When you're not in Alaska and maybe not thinking about your home roots in Ohio, what's one of your favorite places to travel to?
Anywhere in the forest.
Oh.
I'm happy. So
okay.
I love... anywhere in a forest. I, again, am a real forager and strong interest in edible and medicinal plants. So I really love exploring the forest and learning new plants when they're ones I don't already know.
Yeah, very good. One of my favorite terms is, and I'm going to butcher this, it's a Japanese term for forest bathing. It's like Shinrin Yoku or something like that, but it's just being in the forest is a recognized term in Japanese language, and it's something that's highly recommended every day, forest bathing.
No, I've heard from friends about sort of the whole movement around that.
And yeah.
It is so true. We know being outside is so good for our mental health and physical health.
Absolutely. Okay, final question. What's your favorite Alaska-grown thing to eat this time of year?
Brussels sprouts, hands down. I have so many Brussels sprouts, and I'm so happy that they will be good for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, how do you prepare them?
Well, I've been doing a lot of roasted vegetables
recently, yeah.
And I also really like to do them blackened. I've been exploring a lot of Brussels sprouts recipes. If anyone has one they think that I should try, send it my way.
Ooh,
I'd love to have another one.
I have a really good one, actually. I did Brussels sprouts 5 different ways at my Thanksgiving table last year because I, too, love Brussels sprouts. The most popular of those 5 dishes was a raw shaved Brussels sprout salad with a lemony vinaigrette and craisins and some feta cheese. So good. So I will send you that recipe.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I have one that says mustard, like Dijon mustard Brussels that I haven't made yet, that I just bought the mustard for so I could make that recipe. So I look forward to yours as well.
Okay, perfect. Well, as always, Representative Tarr, it's been a pleasure chatting with you this morning and learning a little bit more about the legislative process and how to work with your legislator, etc. I look forward to seeing you this weekend. And again, thanks so much for taking the time to join me on Ag Matters Radio.
Thank you. And thank you for all you do for Alaska agriculture. You're so awesome, Amy.
I can't wait for us to have another win.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Karen.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.